right. Good morning, everyone. Morning. Yeah. What a beautiful morning. I bet a lot of you are excited now to go to camp. It's a good thing we can have the service today before everything else. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, thank you for this wonderful time that we can gather together in your name, to praise you, to honor you, to give glory to your holy name. I do pray, dear Father, that you help us to really know your word. This time, help us to increase not only in knowledge but in wisdom, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you please be with us, grant us the feeling of the Holy Spirit, and empower your servant today. And this we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you so much, and thank you, Kimo. I understand standing here the first time. Now I understand. I remember when I was in my second year of seminary, I don't know what the pastor was thinking about, but he chose me to speak in a mission conference. The church is full of people, and half of them are Americans, half of them are Filipinos, and I was just scared to death. I can't. I didn't sleep that night, because I don't know what to do, and I don't like. But I approached the pulpit, you know, in fear and trembling, and in. But I understand that the Lord is. Always looking for his servants. His eyes run through and forth throughout the whole world to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him or mature toward him. And I'd like to speak on the subject that you all know about, because that's the mission of the church. The mission of the church, and that's our mission and my mission too, and it is my lifetime pursuit, and that is that I may know him, Jesus Christ. All right. Thank you, Yarno. thank you. All right. Without much further ado, I'd like to introduce to you the writings of Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. If you have your Bible with you, I believe I wrote it down there. And if you can hear me, and if you can read that, let me go to the scriptures. Philippians chapter 3. I'll be reading from verse 1, and this will be until verse 11. We're going to do a lot of reading today, so browse yourself. All right. Verse 1, Apostle Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, which are false brethren, those who eat the sheep of the Lord. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation." That's the doctrine of the Pharisees. It's circumcision, salvation by circumcision. So beware of those false teachings. Verse 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh." Verse 4, he says, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised 8 days, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, he said to himself, blameless. But here's a twist here, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if any by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Brothers, sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we know Apostle Paul, probably the greatest missionary the world has ever known, and that even he is in his second missionary journey writing this epistle to the Philippians. They do agree that it was written in prison, when he was in prison in Rome. While in Rome, he wrote this in his second missionary journey already. Have gone all over the place of Asia Minor and every known world at that time. But then look at verse 10. I'd like to emphasize this. Paul says, all these things that I may know him. This is his purpose. This is his pursuit. This is his goal. This is what makes him going. This is Apostle Paul's desire. Almost unsatiable desire. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. And he said, well, by any means am I attained to the resurrection of the dead. But these, I want to limit myself. I understand we all have limited time here. Yeah. So I want to speak on three main topics here. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformed to his death. His desire to know Jesus Christ more and more. But maybe we understand that we know Jesus Christ. We were introduced to Jesus Christ when I was a little boy. I memorized John 3:16. So I was introduced to Jesus Christ. I know Jesus Christ, but Apostle Paul, with all his knowledge, with all his background, he can have more confidence in the flesh. He says here that I can boast in the flesh if it is accomplishment. I have my resume here. But saying that, he wants to know Jesus Christ in a more intimate way. He wants to know Jesus Christ in a more profound way. He wants to experience Christ. He wants to experience, he wants to know the power of his resurrection. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. There you go. Let me read this. For this, the same apostle who wrote this to the Thessalonians, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or those who died in Christ. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which were alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. The power of his resurrection. Jesus Christ, when he rose from the grave. The power of the Holy Spirit through the lives of these believers. And they have worked wonders. And it's just amazing. These people are unstoppable. How many times they have been back and forth to the council to be judged? They were unstoppable. If you have read the Book of Acts, it's just amazing. But Apostle Paul have experienced that. But more so, he wants to know more about this power of his resurrection. Another verse I'd like to show you, verse 4 and 6 of Revelation chapter 20. This speaks about the first resurrection, which at that time they're still looking for the first resurrection. Until now, we're still looking for that first resurrection, when the dead in Christ shall rise and we will all see Jesus Christ face to face. He said in chapter 20, verse 4, and I saw the thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who has not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Brothers and sisters, this is the first resurrection. John says, verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in a first resurrection. Over the second death has no power. Hallelujah. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We will all be resurrected. When we die, we will go to be resurrected. And we will reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Who is going to establish his kingdom here on earth. And we will be forever with the Lord. I remember that old song I used to sing back in the mountains when I was a little bitty missionary up there. The song says, on that resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I like it. I'll have a new home of glory eternal, where the redeemed of God shall stand. There will be no more sorrow, no more pain, there will be no strife. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in paradise, I will have a new body and I will have a new life. Oh, on that great resurrection morning, all of us shall shout, hallelujah, praise to God, welcome. Oh, welcome home. But in this world, we cannot deny there are a lot of sufferings, a lot of troubles. Job said, life is short and full of troubles. In his time, he lived so many years, more than 100 years, but he said, life is short and full of troubles. If you haven't suffered yet because of your faith, you will. If you are suffering right now, it's given, it's in the world. There will be floods and earthquakes and fires and a lot of sufferings, and we cannot understand. Sometimes even our partners helping, we're echoing the question of the devil. If there is God, why there is so much sufferings? Every atheist used to ask that question. Well, they're still asking that question. If there is God, why we have so much sufferings? But Apostle Paul was called to suffering. Believe it or not, we are called to suffer for Christ. Let me take you to my second point, the fellowship of his suffering. Called to suffer. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, plead with you, asking you, please, you walk worthy of the calling in which God has called us. With all lowliness and gentleness and long suffering, bearing one another in love. Wow. Apostle Paul is asking the believers in his days, and we should take this as a calling too, as Apostle Paul's pleading to Christians today, to walk worthy of the calling with long suffering. And that's how we show that we are able to bear one another's burden in love. Jesus Christ suffered for us. We know that. Why? Because he loved us so much. Probably that's the best way, that's the best picture that we can show our love to Christ and our willingness to suffer for him. But unfortunately, you know, some people are like Apostle Paul, were chosen to suffer, like Moses, like the Israelites, like the Jews. How many times they've been in war? How many times they've been in slavery? How many times they suffer? Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. But the Lord said to him, saying to Ananias, to baptize Apostle Paul, for he has second thought of baptizing this guy, and he is about to kill the brethren. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the children of Israel, and kings. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Wow. Chosen to suffer for Christ. Moses is in another, a different category of believers. Not many Christians, not many believers are in this category of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. He says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be the grandson of a Pharaoh who has the largest, the most magnificent empire the world has ever known. At that time, they built pyramids. The Sphinx and all those monuments we're seeing until now. He refused to be called son of Pharaoh. Look at verse 25. This is what I would like to emphasize. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin for a season. And look at verse 6. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. I'd rather have this. This is my self-esteem. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Being in reproach is as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. How can he look for? He is looking forward to a reward, while the reward here in Egypt, with all the glory of Egypt, it's already there. Moses, you're refusing this to get what? It is by faith. You're talking about faith. You're talking about future. No one has showed you what's there on the other side. Like what we're talking about now, we don't know completely the other side. The Bible says, I have not seen or ears have heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for them that loved him. But the succeeding verse after that is, but he has showed to us by his Spirit. He has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. And so we can look forward by faith. This is my reward. This is what I'm going to get. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has promised me. Greater riches than that of Egypt, my friend. Lastly, underneath that suffering, counted worthy to suffer, Acts chapter 5. This is another level of suffering. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. And they agreed with him, talking about Gamaliel, because they don't know what to do with these apostles and disciples of Jesus Christ. They're turning the world upside down, and Gamaliel told the Pharisees at that time, the council, in the presence of the council of Jerusalem, Leave these people alone. If what they're doing is, it is for God, then you don't want to find yourselves fighting against the will of God. If it is not of God, then it was just like a passing season. It would not progress. So in verse 40, they agreed with him. With Gamaliel. And when they had called apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for shame in, for his name's sake. All these people are counting themselves worthy to suffer for Christ. They choose not only like Moses chose to suffer, rejecting the offer of Pharaoh, looking forward to that which is not present yet. These people were beaten because of their belief, and they're rejoicing. This is all Philippians talked about when we read that. They were rejoicing because God has counted them worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Hallelujah, what a faith. Second Timothy 2:11-12 says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, mark it down, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, watch out, he will also deny us. We're believers, we're not deniers. We should be more than willing to suffer for Christ's sake. Lastly, being conformed to his death. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, and to be conformed, be transformed into the manner of his death. See, brothers and sisters, this is a complete gospel. This is what we get when we get baptized. This is what the real meaning of baptism. When you get baptized, pastor said to you, on your word, are you going to be baptized? He would ask you, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you believe in God? Do you believe the gospel? And you said yes. And he baptized you in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the manner of his resurrection. Now go and walk in newness of life. And this is what Paul is trying to say, and this is what he wants to know more. He wants his life to be conformed, or his death to be conformed to the manner of Jesus Christ's death. He didn't say that he is the greatest of all apostles. Actually, he says that I'm the least of all the apostles. But my goal is to be able to live my life like he did, to suffer for Christ like he did, to know him more in a more intimate way. Oh, I wish that when I die, because we're all going to die, at least the matter of my death will be like the death of Christ, and I can be identified as one of his disciples. This is our identification with Jesus Christ when we were baptized. Talking about Mary and Martha, this is when he raised Lazarus, John chapter 11. Martha said to him, Lord, if you were here, Lazarus could have been alive. You know, he's could have been here with us today, but you were late. Jesus was late. Jesus said to Martha, verse 25, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he died, he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives, talking about us today, and believes in me, shall never die. And he asked that question to Martha, asking this same question to us. Do you believe this? Oh, that is my wish. My wish too is, because we're going to die anyway. I'd rather die, you know, for the sake of Christ. Another verse, 1 John 3:16. The same apostle who wrote John 3:16 that you have memorized. Right? Memorized that long time ago. Huh? Or you have already forgotten it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. When God said, you should not perish but have everlasting life. And then you can memorize this John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, the real love, the true love. Ladies, this is the true love. If your man is not willing to die for you, you have to scratch your head. What does he want? Maybe it's not really love. By this we know love, he says, because he laid down his life for us. He wrote it down here, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You say, you lay down your lives for the brethren. I'm going to live my life here. I'm going to enjoy my life. Are we not also called to enjoy our life? Yes, we are. We were called to enjoy our lives here on earth. And the greatest joy that man can imagine and that we can have here on this planet is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of this joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy that is in your soul, whether there be storms and troubles and you are in bankruptcy or in all kinds of troubles. But there is peace and joy within our hearts that only believers in Jesus Christ who are really dedicated to serve God can feel this joy. Oh, is there willingness for us to be like Jesus Christ? Are we going to conform our lives to the life of Christ? Or how are we going to follow Christ? Because we are followers of Christ. If we are going to follow him faithfully, then there should be also willingness, because this is love. You love your children. Of course you're willing to take a bullet for them. You love your comrades. Of course you're going to fight for them. You love your country. You fight for your country. You love your principle. You rally out there in Vancouver for your principle because you love your principle. So you love Christ. He laid down his life for us. We should also be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. And to sum it up, oh, that I may know him, Paul says, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be conformed to his death. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your holy word. May you have a full access in our hearts and minds that we may never forget the gospel. It's your death for our sins, and you were buried, but you rose again to seal our faith in you that you love us so much. Help us, oh God, to follow you as Jesus Christ followed you, as he obeys you. May we all be willing to obey him. And this is our prayer in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful Sunday.